Okay, 3, 2.
3, 2, hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacey on Sputnik Radio. Coming up on the show, we talk to Alistair MacLeod of Gold Money. But first, as always, it's time to hear from Stacey with hot headlines of the day.
Of course, we cannot talk to Alistair MacLeod of GoldMoney.com without first mentioning that the context of our conversation with him is still within that world downgrade warning, the WDDW from Moody's last week that we talked to Gerald Celente about. So within that, of course, there was also Jerome Powell testifying before Congress where he said that in America, the debt is growing faster than the economy. It's as simple as that. That is by definition unsustainable, and it is growing faster in the United States by a significant margin. This is a problem, Max.
It's a horror film. The blob. The blob of debt is engulfing planet Earth. Who will save us from the debt blob? It's growing fast. You know, we've been saying this for years. And unfortunately, the cure from the superheroes at the Fed and other central banks is to actually make the situation worse. What we now know, and I can state categorically, is that money printing, a program designed to fight deflation, actually stokes deflation, you see. It's like kryptonite. Like, okay, if you're Superman, kryptonite is supposed to stop Superman, right? But in this case, the kryptonite actually doesn't kill Superman or the super blob of debt. It makes it bigger.
You know, when I hear WDDW, it does remind me of WWF or the WWE, as it's now called, professional wrestling. Yep. Of course, you know, we have the professional economist at the Fed. And to me, they kind of seem like they're fighting this debt blob, and it's all cartoonish, and we could see that is fake.
There is one superhero in the world. He lives in a country called Great Britain. His name is Alistair MacLeod. He's a smart fella. He reads lots of books. He knows history. And he actually has some really good insight, and we'd like to pick his brain. So let us shift gears into a more serious mode here and bring Alistair MacLeod on to double down. Alistair, how you doing?
I'm fine, thanks, Max. Thanks for having me on. I was listening to what you were saying about the comics. You obviously know a hell of a lot about the comics. Over here, I would say it's a bit of a comic opera. So that's the take I would have on it.
Oh, right. Well, I think you call that panto or pantomime. Is the great
we could call it a pantomime.
Right, the great,
yes,
great tradition,
exactly.
Or a kabuki theater. You know, every country has their tradition of exaggeration and ultimate failure and ending of it all. Now, let's talk about global debt past $255 trillion as Moody's downgrades the global outlook, and Jerome Powell simultaneously warns that the debt is growing faster than the economy. So the debt's been growing faster than the economy for many years now, as you've pointed out, and others. You know, why now? Why is this a problem now?
Well, I don't know what, you know, really what has made Jay Powell sort of suddenly think of this. As you imply, it's been obvious for a heck of a long time. I mean, where does the debt go? It goes, consumers borrow it, and they're all maxed out now. You have government borrows it, and it just destroys wealth by taking wealth from other people in the form of debt. So that just gets destroyed. Big business uses it to gear up its operations because it's got enough cash and it can do this, it can do that. It can do some balance sheet engineering and stuff. And of course, speculators, particularly hedge funds, they play around with it. So how much of it is actually productive? I suspect very, very little.
Right. It's not productive. Let me jump in here. So, you know, my understanding is that if I have a business and I make widgets and I decide I want to expand because demand for my widgets is so high, I go to the bank and I say, I borrow some money. And hopefully I can produce a lot more widgets and pay down that debt. Even a leveraged buyout, the purpose of it is to spin assets off to pay down the debt. Like up until this recent phenomenon, debt was always seen as something that you eventually have to pay down. But it seems like we're entered into an era, Alistair, where the operating mantra is that actually debt, you never have to pay it down. Governments never have to pay their debt. Corporations never have to pay their debt. WeWork is a company that was a total sham, a $48 billion pile of debt. They tried to go public with that debt. But the idea was that the more debt you have, the better you are. So equity now is dead, Alistair.
We don't work. We borrow. I'm afraid. I mean, you're absolutely right. But it's slightly worse than you say as far as ordinary productive business is concerned, because what the banks do is they lend circulating capital. You know, it's a facility, if you like. So they can go out and they can buy work in progress and they can turn it into product and so on. And of course, that is, can be withdrawn at a moment's notice by the bank. And so what an ordinary business finds, I mean, I'm talking about the 80% that's medium and small enterprises in any economy, what they find is that suddenly they get a call from a bank and they have to repay, you know, sort of £50,000, £500,000, whatever it is. And they either can't do it or it just stops them doing business. And it is complete lunacy.
You know, you had said, why is Jerome Powell suddenly warning about the debt rising much faster than the economy? And I think it goes back to the first story we discussed, which was a world debt downgrade warning from Moody's. And what they're warning about is a deepening global geopolitical uncertainty and political turmoil, which they are saying that, like, basically the bottom 99% are angry. In the past 2 weeks, Goldman Sachs recently, they just said that there has been actually zero earnings growth this year, zero in 2019, and that the entirety of the S&P 500 boom is down to the Fed. So the Fed is rigging the game for that top 1% that owns those shares on the S&P 500 versus the rest of the economy. And you see these uprisings around the world. Now, what does gold do in this situation where we have political turmoil and unrest everywhere and Moody's is warning on a debt downgrade warning?
I think in the very short term, that's a very interesting question. Very short term, there is a large overhang of the December contract on COMEX. When that clears, and this has happened every year for the last 4 years or so, when that clears, December has a pretty good month. So I would think that even though we're close to a record amount of open interest on COMEX, it's not record overbought by a long stretch. But what I think will happen is that people will go for the new contract, and then you'll see the gold price motor, because gold is so undervalued in these circumstances. There is no other way of putting it.
Right. So some say that gold is not actually an inflation hedge and that it is instead a better hedge against deflation. This is something from Mitch Shedlock. And against distrust of central banks, I guess. Yeah. So what do you think about this?
I think we need to describe deflation properly. We have not deflation, we have inflation, and we have transfer of wealth from the productive side of any economy to the unproductive side. And that, if you like, is what this this useless debt is all about. It's taking wealth away from the producers and giving it to the non-producers. So I don't regard this as a deflationary situation. It's rather like the early stages of the hyperinflation that we've seen in some countries, particularly the European countries in the early 1920s. Now, there's no way that you would say that what was going on in Germany between, let's say, 1920 and 1923 was deflation. It was inflation. Inflation makes you poor. And that is actually a better description of what we're seeing, I believe, than any sort of toying with words about deflation. Deflation is a contraction of the amount of money in circulation, which has the effect of raising the purchasing power of money. We're talking sound money, because fiat money, there are other factors that come into it. But basically, this is an inflationary collapse, and that is the correct description for it.
Now, another huge event that happened in 2019, this is the biggest story for me, I think, is when Mark Carney stood on U.S. soil in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and said the dollar is toast and that we all need, or the rest of the world needs to prepare for that. So in terms of the settlements layer coming up perhaps in the next few years, Russia has just bought another 9.3 tons of gold in November. That makes it 22% of their total reserves and twice as much as the U.S. in terms of gold to GDP ratio. Your thoughts on what is happening with Russia and also China, who aren't as open about their gold purchases, but they have started announcing some. So what are their plans there, do you think?
Well, I think their plans basically are to avoid a dollar collapse. Was it last week? Putin said you know, in five words, quite simple, the dollar will collapse. That's not quite five words, but that is why the Russians are acquiring gold. They can see that the dollar is no longer fit for purpose. The era from the end of the Bretton Woods era, as it were, 1971 until now, is coming to an end as far as President Putin is concerned. It's also coming to an end as far as Mark Carney is concerned, to pick up on your point. I mean, you know, these are people perhaps we should pay attention to.
Right. Now, as you are aware, the world reserve currency status was passed from the UK, from England, to the United States, you know, I guess around the Edwardian era, to put it in terms that people who watched Downton Abbey would understand. And so who would pick up the baton now? Like, where is the next world reserve currency? Or is it going to be a basket of currencies? Or if the dollar does collapse, you know, what's the new kid in town?
I think it's going to be fiat currency collapse, is my view. People are talking about a reset, but nobody knows how to do this. They're toying with the idea of using blockchain for a new currency so they can control everything that you and I do. They will know what we buy to eat, and they will tax us on any spare money they can find. I mean, that's the sort of story that the central bankers are now contemplating, with 70% of them looking at introducing some sort of blockchain currency. I don't think they've got time. Thank goodness they haven't got time to introduce that. I think the fiat currency system within the next 2 to 3 years will collapse completely. And in a sense, I'm glad of that, because only through a fiat currency collapse can we retain any sense of freedom. If we don't have that, and they morph it into a cryptocurrency, a blockchain type system, whereby we lose all our freedom to do anything economic, then I think that is a worse outcome than a collapse of the fiat currencies.
So what you're saying there reminds me of Ernest Hemingway in The Sun Also Rises. How did you go bankrupt? Two ways, gradually and then suddenly. So you and I and Max have been talking about this for a decade at least, and now you're saying that you're putting this on a horizon of 2 to 3 years. What do you see happening in that lead up to that? Because I think it is perhaps going to suddenly become very sudden, and 2020 may be the year where crazy deep negative rates. Like, what sort of things can you imagine for 2020 in terms of how crazy this could get from the central banks?
Okay, there are various things I think going to happen in 2020. The first is that interest rates are going to get real. I think that is, to my mind, absolutely certain. And it'll get real because the amount of borrowing that governments have got to get into in order to finance their deficits is going to escalate. At the same time, I think you will find that the purchasing power of currencies, and particularly the dollar, will go down. So that means that price inflation will no longer be so easy to conceal with manufactured consumer price indices. The shadow stats and the Chatwood index type numbers will begin to be a lot more obvious to a lot of people. If you have higher interest rates, think what that does to every government's finances. It just kills them. And if you are unfortunate enough to have bought a negative yielding bond with a negative coupon, now this is something worth thinking about it. Do you know what the value of that will be under those circumstances? Zero. So we've got something like 17 trillion. Well, a lot of this is way over par type stuff. But you've got a lot of bonds out there, and particularly government bonds, that are going to go to zero as soon as you have got positive interest rates. Now, that is a frightening thought.
Let me ask you this. So we are in an era of competitive devaluation where there's been a race to the bottom. Are we going to, when you talk about interest rates get real, does that mean countries are going to start raising interest rates to attract capital competitively?
I don't think it'll be central banks or governments raising interest rates. It'll be the market that forces it upon it. And that is the key thing. The market actually, at the end of the day, always wins, as we know.
Right. Okay. Brilliant. Well, I'm happy that my epitaph on my gravestone is not going to say he died with gold never, ever rallying. You know, I'm happy that that's the story. I can die happy now, apparently. And that's going to do it for this episode of...
Don't die yet.
No. I'll hang in there until we get a rally. How about that? That's it for this episode of Double Down with me, Max Keiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. I'd like to thank our guest, Alistair McLeod of goldmoney.com. Until next week. Bye, y'all.